I was getting my hair cut the other day in Sharonville, and the owner of the barber shop, Donnie, came up to my chair and he declared quite apodictically, "Bishop," he said, "this will be the hottest month in history." Bob, the barber who was working on me, demurred, and who knows, certainly today is a very unpleasant, warm, and hot day as we get in the Ohio Valley each summer. But what could it be, do you think, in the midst of such a string of summer days, what could it be that would be more refreshing than a snowfall? Now, I grant you that when it does come, say 3-4 months from now, it will strike terror in many hearts. And for others, it will be a license. Sunday snow makes the church no-go okay. Still, who is not at the first charmed by the stillness of it? The white, bright, quiet purity of its freshness. Wouldn't a little bit of it be welcome today? On this day, there fell snow on one of the seven hills of Rome in the early 5th century. And this is the feast we commemorate by its collect and by its proper last gospel. As a matter of fact, both gospels of the Holy Mass point out to us the advantage of being last, a position which, when accepted by us, suddenly promotes us up to first. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But it is so rare among men to find humility that it has to be, I think, for God or for man, just about as refreshing as a summer snowfall. Now, for God first, or rather for his mother, because our Lord always wants us to go to and honor his mother first. It is refreshing. This is the story of today's feast. The oldest and the greatest of Our Lady's churches in Rome, and thus in Christendom, is called St. Mary Major, the Major Church. It is sometimes known as St. Mary of the Crib because it has the relics of the Crib of Bethlehem. We have a little portion of that crib in the reliquary on the altar this morning. Amongst the other riches of St. Mary Major in Rome is that the ceiling is all covered with gold, the first gold sent over by Christopher Columbus from the New World, which the pious Spanish sovereigns dedicated in thanksgiving for the discovery to our Blessed Mother. How the church got built is an interesting tale. You see, not anyone can go ahead and build a church. David, the great king of the Old Testament, desired to build God a temple. But God sent his prophet to say, "No, not you," because his hands were bloodied with too many deaths, and his soul had impurity upon it. His son, Solomon, when still in his innocence, he would build God a temple. So in the early 5th century, there was this church awaiting to be built. There was a wealthy couple that had lots of money and no children. They conceived the lovely notion to make the Blessed Mother their heir, the heir in their will. Only they didn't know what to do with the money. So nowadays, I suppose if that happened, what they would do would be have a meeting with their advisors and a lawyer and an architect, and they would draw up some great plans for a building which would bear their name, and then say, "Well, now this is how it's going to be spent, Father." But not they. they prayed humbly to the Blessed Mother to know what their charity, not philanthropy, but charity, should be directed to. They had a dream. It's not true that all dreams are dismissed by us. Sometimes God does speak to us in a dream, and in the dream they were told to build a church and to go the next day to one of the hills of Rome, the Esquiline, and there they would see outlined in snow the dimensions exactly of the church Our Lady wanted built. The Pope, Liberius, had the same dream. He went with his clergy in the morning. And that very day, he laid the foundation stone of the church, St. Mary Major. How much God and the Mother of God, his humble mother, Mary, are pleased, how refreshing it must be to heaven, wearied with man and all of his great plans and all of his pride, to see a soul who is not only generous to God, and I grant you that's already quite a bit, but humble. Here's the money, Mother Mary. Here's the money, but please tell me, how should I spend it? They are like Our Lady in the Gospel. They heard the Word of God, and they kept it. Now, the other gospel, the main one of the Mass, just now sung, the other gospel is just a story. But could we say just a story? A parable is a pointed teaching tale, but it comes from wisdom incarnate. We, all of us, especially you who are the just and pretty good, you need to hear this story at least once a year, because we do make it to Mass most Sundays, except, of course, on snow days. And when we get here, this St. Gertrude's is a fairly large church, but we kind of know each other. You're bound to find many Sundays someone who will perhaps set you off amongst us, set you off for a little bit of internal preening, praising yourself Pharisee-like and peering at the other person just to put him down in your mind, and to think these thoughts come during the holy sacrifice. And then the devil tells us, you know enough to judge. You could put two and two together here, couldn't you? And I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, becomes your heartfelt prayer, so much so that when you get to your Domine non sum dignus, those are just hollow words about, Lord, I am not worthy. And you might wonder, why is it then that I do not go home justified? All of the mercies of the Sacred Heart, on which we've been dwelling all Lent long and earlier this summer, they often, I think, go unclaimed because we will not learn from him. No one needs to teach me anything, thank you. He is meek and humble of heart. That's not for me. Or we will not turn to her Immaculate Heart. Do you know that St. Matilda was told in a vision that the very first virtue Mary practiced as a little girl was humility, and that remained her greatest virtue? Pious souls, this is your Sunday, Pentecost 10. Are you personally perhaps just a bit proud? Proud that you've managed to keep the faith and to practice it when so many others have fallen away? Don't be. Don't dismiss this humble sermon as so much pious piffle, and don't please go back to judging each Sunday all that you see around you, because there's an awful lot you cannot see. I conclude with the story of a saint who had a vision of the last judgment. Very interesting. Each soul presented herself with a sack on her back, sort of like the Santa sack, and in it were wrapped up neatly in boxes at the bottom the sins, and towards the top of the bag the good deeds. The angels would unpack each sack and weigh each one of the boxes and then compute the tally. The packages of sins at the bottom, for most people, far outweighed their good works in this vision of the saint. And thus he saw Jesus, the just judge, accordingly pronounce condemnation on countless souls. He was grieved. Finally came a woman with almost all good deeds in that bag on her back, hardly any sins wrapped up in the bottom. Ah, thought the saint, thanks be to God. This woman certainly will be going to heaven. But when her good works were weighed, they came out light as a feather, whereas her sins weighed heavy on the scales of God's justice. The saint was astonished. He turned to the angel that was there and asked, how can all of this good, big piles of boxes, count for so little? Ah, the angel responded, know that this woman has indeed done a great deal of good. But since she was full of vanity and of pride when she did it, her good works are outweighed in the eyes of the all-seeing judge, and she is lost forever. No wonder one of the early saints, a hermit in the Egyptian desert, Saint Macarius, used to say, do no evil to anyone, and do not judge anyone. Observe this, and you will be saved. There, that's fairly simple, isn't it? Another one of the hermits of ancient Egypt, St. Agathon, whenever his thoughts would urge him to pass judgment on something he saw, he would say to himself, Agathon, it is not your business to do that, to judge. But because we, after all, are not hermits in ancient Egypt, and sometimes all day long we need to reach some kind of a practical judgment to keep our faith and to fulfill the duties of our state, let us then ask Our Lady for mercy. Mercy in judging others, mercy for the day of our judgment. Come with St. Bernard last of all to Mary's mountain and see lined out in the snow of her purity the refreshing dimensions of Mary's mercy. Who shall be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of your mercy, O Virgin Most Blessed, St. Bernard prayed once. Its length stretches forward even as far as the day of judgment to help all who invoke you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.